Football America's live and underway here on ESPN Plus. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebastian Salazar for what is episode 143, Herc, in show history. And this one, I have a feeling, will be truly historic.
You mean because of my shirt, the 8-bit Mano de Dios? Is that what you're saying? It is historic?
Very nice. Very nice. A throwback. Okay. A throwback here as well. This is a 1990 World Cup replica for the United States.
Oh, good. You decided to remind the U.S. men's national team fans of the worst World Cup in recent memory.
Ah, well, they made it. You're forgetting about 2018.
They did not. Yes.
We have quite a slew of guests scheduled for tonight's show. In just a little bit, you're going to hear from Julian Araujo of the LA Galaxy and the Mexican national team as we look forward to El Tráfico, of course, tomorrow night out there in La La Land. Speaking of rivalries, in the NWSL, we got San Diego Wave against Angel City. Sydney LaRue, who just got traded to Angel City, is scheduled to join us in studio in just a little bit, but we're going to start with our first guest, a European champion, Herc, who is coming to Hollywood.
Attack Celtic as the defense win the league.
This is my goal and my target.
Call it the LA Derby, call it the Clásico Angelino, call it El Tráfico. But come tomorrow night, you may be calling it Giorgio Chiellini's Major League Soccer debut. That's right, the European champion set to join LAFC, and now for the first time on Friday night, he'll be eligible to participate in MLS action. The aforementioned Giorgio Chiellini joining us now here on Football Americas. Giorgio, man, great
Ciao,
to have you on the show.
Ciao, Hercules.
Great to have you in MLS.
I'm very happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm reminded of a time, what is this now, 4 years ago, 2018. It's the MLS All-Star Game. Juventus is in Atlanta. And, Herc, you know how it was because you were there. Like, they send the Juventus players around to do the media. And most of these guys, they don't want to do it. But Giorgio was first in line. Wanted to put the microphone on. He was all about it. And I was like, this guy loves it here. Yeah. And he's going to love it in MLS. So, Giorgio, what is Giorgio Chiellini doing his first few days in Los Angeles?
If you remember, 4 years ago, I said maybe one time I would like to try an experience in MLS. And because I followed this league from many years ago, and really would like to have this opportunity. And I'm here. I'm very happy and proud to be chosen by the LAFC. We start to talk in April, and I'm really excited and happy about this experience. Tomorrow we start in the best match I could choose, and I'm happy. We start finally. I'm available. I'm improving my fit in this day because I arrived after 1 month of season. And I try to maintain the shape as better as possible, and now I improve it day by day. I'm very happy to play and train with my teammates, and tomorrow really we would like to win. It will be difficult. Galaxy against LAFC is the best match for us, and but we're here and we want to win tomorrow.
I got a very important question. It's really the only question I care about. Alessandro Del Piero.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? Have you gone to the restaurant? What is it? The 10, right?
Yeah, I speak with him many times in the last month. He suggests me many things in LA, but he's still on holiday in Italy. And then I'm waiting for go to his restaurant when we arrive.
Mm. Herc, have you gotten the invite to the restaurant? That's what I want to know.
Not yet. I'm still waiting.
Not yet.
Maybe next time.
All right, let's talk about...
We go together.
Let's talk, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about expectations here, right? Because LAFC, even before they signed you, even before they signed Gareth Bale, Giorgio, they were already in first place. So yeah. Now you guys come in, everybody around the league, everybody that covers this league says LAFC is going to win MLS Cup, and then beyond that, they're going to be trouble in CONCACAF Champions League. What are your expectations for the rest of this season?
The expectation and the goal is two different things. The expectation surely is continue to work, continue to improve and maintain the top of the league. But I'm very happy because I have fantastic teammates. I've started to study and to see all the matches from the beginning of the season. And I'm really happy to join him because at my age, we need a fantastic player closer to me. And then we have a good defender, good midfield, a good striker. And I'm not in a case at the top of the league. I just one of 25 and I can bring my experience, my skills, my application in defense, and surely I can help my teammates in some details in and out of the pitch in order to maintain the calm and the lucidity in all the match, and also when we will arrive on the playoff. I'm very happy that also Garrett join us, and surely he can bring. He is fantastic. He's a fantastic winger. He can shoot. He can physically. He's also fit now. But we are just one, two, with Carlos three of 25. We have the same importance. I'm not more important than everyone else in the team. This is our
mentality.
Mission and our mentality.
You know, Giorgio, I look at you and I see a student of the game. You throw everything of yourself into what you're doing, into your passion, into your job. I'm curious, Carlos Vela's been the face of LAFC. He's been the face of Major League Soccer for quite some time. When you see Carlos Vela, first your immediate reaction, but also a player who has chosen not to play with the Mexican national team. He's choosing not to go to a World Cup. Just your overall thoughts on Carlos Vela and that situation.
But honestly, when I arrived, I met Carlos as all my teammates, but I feel in Carlos the joyful of my arrival because I think also him need new energy from something other. And also I think me and Garrett can take some pressure from him, can help him managing the dress room, and also he really can play, can think just to play. He is, when I think Carlos Vela, I think at LFC and the opposite. When I think at LFC, I think to Carlos Vela. Then he remained the captain, our stars, our fantastic player. And if you want to arrive to win, we need Carlos in the best condition. And I think we could help him day by day, permit him just to do these fantastic things I've seen now.
Giorgio, I'm curious about another one of your future teammates. That's Gareth Bale. How did you find out? Because it happened kind of right after you had signed. And what was your reaction when you heard that he was going to be joining the team too?
I was on the beach with my family because I'm waiting for the visa. I would like to arrive before, but I have to wait some days in Italy. And I go to see the phone and I read Gareth Bale joining LFC. Wow! This is my reaction, and I think all the same reaction as all the LAFC fans. And surely we are very happy, and we do the compliments to our manager, to our president. It's not easy because also we and Garrett arrive as a team, and we have a designated player spot free. And available, maybe we can improve also our team. But I've said before, the important is the feelings and in which we arrive. Me and Gareth surely strictly want this league, this team, and this is important because the goal of the club, the players, the fans, the ownership is a right to win. We have 18 months in order to arrive to this goal, and I know that it's difficult because we are 28 teams and after 14 teams on the playoffs, just one arrived to win, but we have all the skills and we don't feel the pressure, but joyfully and with calm, day by day working, we have to improve to really we have to be funny playing soccer.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy to me that you know the exact number of teams in the league and how many go to playoffs, because I could guarantee you a lot of players coming into Major League Soccer do not know that, Giorgio.
I said it before. I have a master's degree and I've studied all of my life, and all my options.
Well, I got a good question for you, because I'm very curious. El Tráfico here in Los Angeles has had a little bit of history, short history, but it's been very popular within the city. Maybe from your experiences in Europe, from maybe seeing Zlatan, what do you know about El Tráfico? What have you seen?
I read a strange statistic today. 15 games, 65 goals. For us in a derby is something impossible. I'm happy in a derby, the match is closed and a few chances.
Correct.
And after the first goal, the game is open.
Uh-huh.
And instead, in 5 games per game, in the medium is so high. I remember the first game of Zlatan and when he played this derby. And I see all this derby this year. Unfortunately, We lose both, and we didn't do a very good performance, but I think we play well, but not for 90 minutes. And Galaxy is a team that if you concede few chances as the player who kill you. And Chicharito surely is the best, but also the other. Jovic is doing a fantastic season. The wing is so fast. And we have to maintain the calm and the balance for all the game. And really, I think in this way, we win tomorrow.
Giorgio, you mentioned Chicharito. I'm wondering about that one-on-one battle, you versus Chicharito. How do you shut him down?
Is that how he celebrates?
Is that how he celebrates? Chicharito is fantastic. I played him against him in Madrid. Surely, I don't remember also if in Manchester United. And I see the last games of the year, and surely he's still very fit, and he's fantastic in the movement on the box, really fantastic, because he do 2-3 times movement and it's very difficult to mark him, and surely is one of my best skills mark on the box. With him it will not so easy. We'll see tomorrow. I try to do the best as possible. I will study another time also this evening or tomorrow, and But when I play against a fantastic striker as Chicharito, surely it's a beautiful thing for me. I'm excited to play against these players.
So number 14 versus number 14, and I believe Texas boy Weston McKennie is also number 14 at Juve. So I want to ask you about Weston McKennie right now. Weston McKennie, do you see him as a long-term piece at Juventus?
I think Weston is... first of all, a fantastic guy, really good guy, so funny, and also is a beautiful player, really a good player who is improving, who is surely had to work to himself to improve, and to, because physically is fantastic, he's really strong, and he run all the match, and an important thing, he scored many goals. And it's not easy to find a midfielder who scores so many goals as Weston. He is just 24, then surely he has to improve on the pass, on the playing 90 minutes and be on the zone, right zone. Yeah, for 90 minutes, many times is he decides too fast and doesn't think too much about what he needs, but I love him. And everyone in Juventus love him, and I hope he could stay many years in Juventus.
Speaking of Americans at Juventus, or Americans potentially at Juventus, Christian Pulisic has been linked with a move to Juve from Chelsea. How do you think he'd fit in there and in Serie A?
Well, honestly, I don't know. It's the first time I heard it. But I think Juventus needs some wing, and as Pulisic, is very good, I think, when he starts from the side and come inside. And with the injury of Chiesa, he surely still return, but not before September. And in the first months, surely he can play every game. And also with the arriving of Angel Di Maria, Pulisic could be the fantastic third wing for Juventus. And this improve year by year. He did a fantastic season in Chelsea. It's the first time I think he can sell him. But if he comes to Juventus, I'm very happy as a fan.
You know, I was hesitant to ask you about the World Cup, this next question of who will go through, because like, no, he's not going to know the U.S. or Mexico, but you're such a student of the game, I think you actually will. What do you think is going to go further, the U.S. men's national team or Mexico in the World Cup?
Honestly, I don't know very much in Mexico. And I can't be able to think to talk about it, but I think U.S. is going up in the last year. He has a fantastic young players. And now, and they can arrive at their best in the World Cup 2026. But they could be perfect for the U.S. because they hosted this World Cup. And I think the generation of Pulisic, McKenney, I think so, Sergino Dest, and Reina, and Adams, and all the other guys could arrive in 2026 in the best moment of their career.
Brian.
But only now, I think he had to live with joyful, with happiness, and he could do something special with this emotion.
Let me ask you really quick about somebody who does play in the Mexican national team that you played against many times, Chucky Lozano. Irving Lozano in his situation. Talk to me about Irving Lozano.
Chucky or Chucky? Chucky.
Well, in Spanish, Chucky, but...
We say Chucky. Yes, Chucky Lozano is so fast. This year, I think he did a good season because he started to understand so to the woman and the link with Insigne, who is a fantastic passer. And Lozano scored many goals with after a pass of Lorenzo. And I don't know if he stay or not, but he's... Now he's really a strong player for Napoli, and surely he could have more spaces also on the left side in which always play Lorenzo, and maybe he could come inside and also some shoot more with the right feet. But he's really a good player. I don't know what arrive in Mexico about his year, but he's considered an important player for Napoli in Italy.
Herc, I know you keep calling him a student of the game, but with what he knows, I think we have to call him, give him a new nickname, the professor.
The professor.
He's graduated
he's gonna
from
take
a student
my job.
Of the game.
He's going to take my job soon, man. Get out of here, Giorgio.
Not yet. We're some years away.
18 more months.
Not yet, he says. Not yet. Giorgio Chiellini, thank you very much, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for being
pleasure.
With us here
thank
on Football
you.
Americas. There he is, Giorgio Chiellini. You'll be seeing him Friday night, tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN and ESPN Deportes LAFC against the LA Galaxy. So we just heard from Giorgio Chiellini. Let's hear now from his LAFC teammate, Kellen Acosta. Here's Kellen Acosta's jersey swap or not.
Hi, I'm Kellen Acosta, and this is my jersey swap or not. Yeah, I mean, the jersey that came, I mean, I've traded multiple people, but I mean, the one that sticks out the most is the one I traded with Coutinho. We played against Brazil in, I think it was MetLife. I mean, Coutinho's a guy that I watched growing up. And it was one of those things where I was kind of just chasing a little bit. That game, I mean, he was pretty exceptional. I mean, it was hard. I mean, I felt like we were chasing shadows that game, and it was definitely difficult. And then after the game, it was just one of those things where I think he got subbed. So I was like, I was trying to look, just looking for him. I was like, okay, I got to find this guy. Got to switch with him, and I was able to trade with him. It's actually just in a trunk in my house. I mean, I'm in the process of moving. I just came from Colorado. It's here to LA. So it was definitely great to add that to the collection.
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
More Major League Soccer transfer news. Hurt. ESPN's Rob Dawson reporting Jesse Lingard is set to travel to the U.S. later this summer to hear pitches from multiple Major League Soccer teams. The England international is 29 years old. He's out of contract at Manchester United. There is reported Premier League interest from at least West Ham and Everton. All right, Herc, it's being reported that these so-called deals are, quote, groundbreaking deals. What do you think? Is Jesse Lingard worth it? Is he the guy you build your MLS team around?
I don't like the way you phrase that question, build your MLS team around. I know what you're trying to do right now, Sebastian Salazar. Listen, he's 29 years old. He's a very good footballer, right? At West Ham, because he's on the outs at United, so he wasn't getting any love, wasn't getting any playing time. When he went to West Ham, he was very productive. I mean, 9 goals, 5 assists in 16 games. He's 29 years old. I seriously think he can do some damage at the Major League Soccer level. The reality here, though, is he's only got a handful of teams he could actually play for in Major League Soccer that he'd probably want to play for, right? What do you got? Your LA teams? Your Florida teams, maybe your New York area teams. That's only a handful if we're being honest. But I think this is a player you take a chance with. This, I think, this is a player you roll the dice with. I think he can do a lot of damage in this league.
I think there's probably some fair questions about his ambition, right? It's a guy who's 29 years old. Anytime a player in their prime goes from Europe to MLS, somebody's going to question ambition. But this is a guy, you mentioned the very successful stint at West Ham. They obviously wanted to keep him. And he goes back to Manchester United to fight for a spot at his boyhood club. That might tell us a little bit something about his ambition. I think he's going to be motivated as well, although I don't know what you think. Looking at the roster now, he seems like a pretty long shot to get back into the England team. Yeah. There's obviously a lot of competition.
You did play Nations League, though.
I just wonder how Gareth Southgate would look at it, right? And I'm sure that's part of the consideration here for Jesse Lingard. What I do really like about it, and you and I talked about this kind of off the air, is this is a move that is not about a name, it's about a player, right? Yeah. Like Jesse Lingard's not going to sell a bunch of jerseys or sell a bunch of tickets unless he starts to play well, the team around him starts to play well. This is a move specifically about soccer. And there was a time in MLS where name came first. This wouldn't be that, would it?
No, absolutely not. You'd say he doesn't move the needle. He won't put tickets, butts in the seat. He's not going to sell tickets. It's not that kind of marketing tool, if you will. But I think Major League Soccer is getting past that. They're past, because they want to shed that image, right? Or at least that retirement image. That retirement image came with trying to put players, certain players on the field to generate ticket sales. This would be a strictly, what can you do for me on the field type of move? Can you help my team get better? Can you help me win a championship?
So let's think about which teams might be interested in this. The reports tell us it's either LA or Florida, so that kind of narrows it down, right? It gives us the two teams in Los Angeles, Inter Miami, and Orlando City as well. Who do you think needs Jesse Lingard right now the most of those four candidates, Herc?
Hey, hear me out for a second before you go all Sebi Salazar on me.
I don't even know what that means.
my immediate reaction says, well, Inter Miami makes just perfect sense for everybody involved. It's exactly what Chris Henderson, it's exactly what Neville needs, it's exactly what Jorge Mas and David Beckham would want, a player that could be on the field, do things for you, and a player that might feel semi-comfortable with the city and said coach. But it's the Galaxy, and we have to address the elephant in the room. Douglas Costa has not been good. He was a mistake for the LA Galaxy. If you could somehow, because per Taylor Twellman, he thinks both LA teams are in play. If you could somehow move Douglas Costa, get him out of there, and free up this designated player spot for a Jesse Lingard, I honestly think the Galaxy are one piece away, one starting piece away from being a championship contending team. with Greg Vanney. I honestly feel that. If you can get Javier Hernández more looks, Jovalich is easing the pressure off him. You can get a quality player in that attacking third with those two, you've got yourself something.
I think we'd take LAFC and Orlando out of this mix almost immediately, right? Because they don't necessarily need the player the most. I feel like LA Galaxy need it from an almost buzz perspective, right? Like all we're talking about recently when it comes to MLS transfers and really Los Angeles soccer out of Angel City FC, it's what LAFC is doing. It's what they're doing in the transfer market. So LA Galaxy, I think, need to strike back in some way. This would be big to that extent. Although, again, it's not the star power move. It's not the Zlatan move. I think Inter Miami, though, at some point, doesn't Inter Miami need to prove to the people down there that they're serious about soccer? Have they had a signing yet that's done that?
Not big name. They tried, but that's the thing. They've already tried going down that route. Excuse me. Blaise Matuidi, you've had Higuain. You've tried that. Campana happened to be one of your better players, and that wasn't the route you were going for. It just happened to be, can he help me on the field? So maybe they continue going that route. I've got no doubt that Chris Henderson will right this ship because he's got that Garth Lagerwey school of thought in him, if you will, and he's been doing good things. You've seen the change. But I agree with you. Maybe not so much as they need this to keep pace, because I don't think that's the question here with LAFC, but they're a team that's always been serious about winning. They're a team that's always chased the titles. Now, if you want to chase the title, you're still missing that piece.
Inter Miami also just brought in Alejandro Pozuelo. It's not a contract extension yet, so we don't know how long he'll be there. But, you know, you gotta think about that as well. Do you need Lingard and Pozuelo? Maybe you do. Maybe Inter Miami needs both. I think you could probably make that case. Herc, what about the case of Orbelin Pineda, a player we were really excited about when he finally made the move over to Spain and Celta Vigo? Let's just say from a playing time standpoint, it didn't really work out. Now he's kind of in a standoff with the club. Here's the latest. He's got basically 1 week to find a European suitor, or else it looks like he's headed back to Mexico. Celta Vigo is asking for $5 million. The reported interest, or at least the latest reported interest, is from Rayo Vallecano. Herc, are you cool with how Celta is handling Orbelin Pineda's situation?
Seb, this is an absolute joke. It's a mockery of a situation for Orbelin Pineda. Orbelin Pineda, they convinced him to go on a free transfer. Leave Cruz Azul, come on a free. Come chase your European dream. They paid zero for the guy. And now, after he played, 97 minutes out, Chacho Cudet, the head coach, says, hey, I didn't ask for him. I didn't want him. He's here. I don't know why. Now, all of a sudden, they want to demand 5 million euros plus for him to go elsewhere. A player they got for free, a player they don't even want, a player they stated has no place on their team, but they want to charge something for him? This is insane amount of BS.
I hope they do get a deal done, though, if there's real interest from Rayo Vallecano on last year's La Liga schedule. Remember, Casey Keller played for Rayo. He and I did like 4 or 5 games. That team is a lot of fun to watch. They play. They might not have a big budget, but they certainly play. So if they can scrap together those $5 million, euros, whatever Celta's asking for, I would love to see Orbelin Pineda, one, stay in Europe, period. Second, stay in La Liga, and third, stay at Rayo. What's that look? You don't like it?
You're cool with Celta de Vigo trying to cash in on this. A player that fell into their lap for free. A player that they don't want. A player that they gave 97 minutes to. This is really what you, the Mexican national team fan in you, this is what you want. This is what you're okay. Okay, that's fine. Go to the next segment.
I don't want them to hold him hostage, but if they can make a deal.
That's what they're doing. They're holding this man hostage.
Where do you want to see him end up?
Hostage. Anywhere. But do not for 1 second think I am cool with Celta de Vigo cashing in on this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, speaking of Celta de Vigo, that's the landing spot for Luca Della Torre, a player who you have been talking about a lot of late here on Football Americas. Our Jeff Carlisle reporting that it's going to be a $2 million fee paid to Heracles. The 24-year-old is set for a medical on Friday. And it appears Celta's sporting director is the one that had a keen eye for Della Torre. As with all these guys, Herc, it is a World Cup year. What do you think of this move? Is there some element of risk here for Luca Della Torre?
Oh, I love me some Luca Della Torre. Hey, if anybody wants to gift me a Luca Della Torre Heracles jersey, I'm all for that because I'm a big fan of the player. But sporting director asked for said player to Celta de Vigo. Didn't we just go through this with Orbelin Pineda? I mean, it's a World Cup year, and Orbelin Pineda is literally fighting for his World Cup life right now, for his national team career, trying to find a different team. I'm not saying he doesn't have the level to play at a Celta Vigo or La Liga. Obviously, he does. I think he's a very good player. I think La Liga could be a very good league for him. Mm. But we just saw, in Espanol, esta película ya la vi. I've already seen this movie. I know how it ends. Anywhere but Celta de Vigo. We've seen this.
Aside from that, it does feel kind of like a pretty good level move, right? He's going from a team that was relegated in the Dutch top flight to a, you know, not really a relegation threatened team in La Liga. This is a team that's usually middle of the table. Maybe they might creep up in there into a
Europa League.
I don't know, Europa Conference League, something like that. And then you mentioned it. I think if there's a player we think of in the American midfield right now who is technical first, it's Luca Della Torre. If there's a league you think of, it's Spain.
Yeah.
This, aside from the Celta bad vibes, this is a good move and a good fit, right?
I love La Liga for him. He's a deep line playmaker. He's got silky smooth ability to break through lines. He's got great vision. I think he'd be a great asset. But I repeat, and Jurgen Klinsmann came on this show talking to Ricardo Pepi, and he warned about the World Cup year. It's a World Cup year. You have to be very careful. The World Cup isn't in the summer. It's in November. So these summer moves impact your World Cup future.
All right, so there it is. Luca Della Torre, not the only CONCACAF player on the move. Canada's Kyle Larin as well. He's going from Besiktas in Turkey to Club Bruges in Belgium on a free transfer, Herc, with reported interest from Tigres.
That would have been something. Canadian goal scorer at Tigres would have made some money. I like Bruges. Just a Champions League team. He's going to be a goal scorer. He's going to be in the eye of a lot of different other teams. I like this.
And he's going to be playing with Tejan Buchanan, a little Canadian connection in the Belgian league.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Joining us next on Football America, Sydney LaRue of Angel City. She's in studio with Herc. How's Herc treating you? Everything okay?
Everything is great. I'm so happy to be here.
LA, how are you not happy to be here? It's LA.
That's very true.
Exactly. I know you're happy to be here on Football Americas. What about the trade to Angel City? Give us that moment when you finally find out you're getting that move. What is that feeling like?
Yeah, I found out on Tuesday and I was here on Wednesday. So everything has been quite a blur. The last week has been unbelievable. Everyone has been so welcoming to me and my family, and I'm very happy.
You know, Sid, I'm curious. Angel City's a new team. I feel the buzz here in Los Angeles because I live here, but what's the rest of the league? What are your peers saying in NWSL about Angel City?
I mean, I played here when I was with Orlando, and I mean, the bank is amazing. What an atmosphere. And so it was amazing to play here for Angel City last weekend.
All right, so you talk about the bank. Let's look forward to this weekend then, Saturday against San Diego. It feels like the new big rivalry in the National Women's Soccer League. Give us an idea of kind of where you think the rivalries stack up across the NWSL and what you think this one could be or maybe already is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rivalry, and I think that's fun. We want that in women's soccer. You have two new teams from Southern California, and two teams who have done quite well. So it's exciting.
You know, Sid, last year was a tough year for the league with the coaching scandals. As a player, where do you feel that you are today in the league, a year removed from said incidents?
Yeah, I think there's a long way to go. You know, last year was tough, and for some of us, this year was tough, and we want to move forward. And so I think that's happening, but we still have a ways to go.
Let's talk a little bit about the international level, because before the CONCACAF W Championship, we got a long list of players from Vlatko Ananoski, and your name was on it. It was the first time we've seen you on a national team list in quite some time. We know about the fight for the number nine position. We always talk about it with the U.S. Women's National Team. We're not that far from a World Cup. Do you feel yourself as like an active member of the pool? Do you think about the 2023 World Cup as a target?
That's a good question, because I was surprised to see my name on that list too. But I think, you know, I'm excited. It made me happy, but I think that I'm enjoying playing soccer again, and you know, whatever happens will happen.
You know, some would say quite obviously that we're experiencing a generational change on this women's national team. I'm curious about your assessment of this national team through said change.
Yeah, I think we have some amazing young players coming through, and that's really exciting. But I also think that veterans are very important, so it'll be interesting to see what Vlatko does.
How do you think this team compares? Let's go back to 2015. You're on the team, you guys win the World Cup. What are some similarities, and maybe what are some of the differences between the two sides?
Youth. You know, when back in 2015, we didn't have a lot of youth. So I think youth is new. But I also think what's the same and what will always be the same with the U.S. Women's National Team is, I mean, the fight. We never give up. No matter what, we always think and know we're going to win. And I think that is always going to be true.
I'm interested in you talking about the veteran presence and how that's important. We saw during a lot of these games that the women have had trouble finishing, maybe trouble closing games out. Do you feel that's maybe impacted with the lack of veteran leadership on the field?
Possibly. I also think that sometimes there's growing pains. You know, it's different. It's a completely different team. And I think that will eventually all work itself out.
Sydney, I'm curious, just kind of for a global perspective, what you think of all that we've got going on this summer. You know, the Euros are on ESPN. We got the CONCACAF W Championship that's going on down in Mexico, where we've seen an explosion in the women's game. You've been around this game a long time. Like, kind of where do you think the women's game is in its ultimate trajectory here in the year 2022?
I think it's amazing. I mean, you look here in LA and you see the support that Angel City has, and I mean, it's unbelievable, and I think that's what every female soccer player deserves.
You know, I gotta ask you, because a few days ago I'm opening up my phone and I see Vanessa Bryant tweet out talking about you, talking about your relationship with the Bryant family, with how much Gigi looked up to you, and a special tattoo. Can you share a little bit about that tattoo and the relationship with the Bryant family?
Yeah, the Bryant family, I consider my family. So I'm so excited to be back in LA for that as well, to see them and to get back with Vanessa and see the kids and have our kids back together. I'm very excited for that. And yes, I have a number two tattoo for me and Gigi. She was number two and we were number two together.
He was really a huge supporter of, you know, people kind of know it about the women's basketball game, but I remember games in San Diego, LA, like he would always come to women's national team games. I wonder what that was like for you guys having him there.
Yeah, I mean, he is such a huge supporter of females. I think that is, you know, what Kobe did was he showed everyone that, like, invest in women, and especially because he had all girls, so of course. But, I mean, it was always nice to see him at games, and, you know, of course, I miss him so much.
Your expectations, change of scenery, new opportunity, maybe with the women's national team. Your expectations, both club and country.
My expectations, you know, I'm so happy to be in LA, and I think that alone will be better for me. And my hope is to score goals and to fight and to give everything that I have, and we'll see.
Sydney, we're talking a lot right now about transfers for players, and I like hear it in your voice. You keep coming back to it, how important it is to be happy. And, you know, we're talking about Luca Della Torre moving to Spain, and is it a technical league? You know, what is a coach like? How important is the other part of it when you're thinking about your next move? Because I can almost like hear the weight of what that means for you and your voice, this change.
Yeah, I think change is good. And I think it's necessary. I was in Orlando for 5 years, and it was just, I needed something new. And so I think that's exciting for me. And, you know, to play with a new group of girls is always fun, to get to know each other on the field and off. So I'm excited for that. And I think change is good.
You know, the obvious answer is Los Angeles, right? Everybody's going to say Los Angeles, the weather, it's beautiful. Everybody wants to be here. But I'm curious as to how you were sold on Angel City and this project.
I saw the support. I knew that Angel City wanted to do something different here. And that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, you see it, and it's unbelievable. And of course, I wanted to be back in LA. And so it's been, you know, full circle, and I'm back. So I'm very excited.
Specifically that atmosphere at the bank, because I think one of the first things I saw from you on social after the trade, you hadn't even played yet, was the reception. You got, you know, that's something that maybe we're starting to see in women's soccer in Europe, but that packed stadium, big packed stadium for an NWSL club game is something we're seeing for the first time at Angel City. What does that mean for you guys?
I think it's amazing, but it's not just one game. It's every single home game. Everyone shows up, and I think that's amazing. And like I said, that's what female soccer players deserve in this league, in this country, in the world. And, you know, we're seeing that now. So we can only go up from here.
I got to give a shout out to Portland Thorns, because otherwise the people in Portland will be mad that I said they don't fill their stadium.
So we go, pandering to Portland like you always do. I'm really curious, you know, it's two new franchises, San Diego and Angel City here in Los Angeles. How do you make this a meaningful rivalry? Like, you experienced this for the first time. What do you expect?
I expect it to be a hard-fought game. And I think we're ready for that, and we're excited, and we get to play at home this time. So I'm excited. It'll be good.
Yep. Should be a great one Saturday night. Angel City against San Diego. Sydney LaRue, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you being here on Football Americas.
Thank you for having me.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The U.S. women's national team just finishing up against Jamaica, and the U.S. wasting no time in this one. Sophia Smith starting the scoring.
Okay, sombrerito, way to get around. Look at this. Boop, boop. Right here. What a touch. And then this filthy finish outside of the foot.
Remember, this is the same Jamaica team that beat Mexico the other night. A few minutes after the first goal from Sophia Smith, another one from Smith. 2-0 U.S.
Oh, I thought the defender could have got a piece of this right here. Right here, Sophia Smith beats the goalkeeper. This is where you got to go. You got to get that out of there. Whew.
Close. Yep. Smith gets the credit for the goal. U.S. up 2-0 into the second half, looking for a third in the 59. Rose Lavelle at the back post.
Yeah, something they didn't really do too well against Haiti. The Haiti was doing well, really well against them, getting in behind the defenders, and then it's just a nice little finish across the face of goal.
So the U.S. then 3-0 up into the 81st. More from the Americans driving into the box. Herc, we're headed to the spot.
Yeah, you got to be careful how you go in. You can't dive in that way against these type of players. To the spot.
Midge Purse draws the penalty. Christy Mewis finishes it. And the U.S. takes a 4-0 lead. They'd add a fifth in the 86th. Ball comes across. Yes, there it is. La manita.
Yeah, that'll be five. Good little finish. Great ball across. Rodman will take that.
There you have it. The U.S. 5-0 winners over Jamaica. And all but qualified for the upcoming World Cup. There they have it. U.S. 6 points from two games. Mexico, Haiti, just about to start down there in Monterrey. We will have full coverage of that game on Monday's show. Speaking of the U.S. women's national team, they were without the services of Megan Rapinoe. Why? Because she was being awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom on Thursday at the White House, as you see right there. One of 17 people to receive the honor from the President, Joe Biden, the first ever soccer player, Herc, to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Let's hear more from a historic day at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Megan is one of the most accomplished soccer players and the first soccer player to receive the Medal of Freedom. Beyond the World Cup titles and Olympic medals, Megan is a champion for essential American truth that everyone is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. Everyone. Megan did something really consequential. She helped lead the change for perhaps the most important victory for anyone on her soccer team or any soccer team, equal pay for women. And Megan, like Simone, I hope there's room for this medal between all the other awards you and Sue have received during your remarkable careers and your reckless play. I'm watching you. My Lord, you have such... You are a good kid.
Again, Herc, not a long list of athletes that have been honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Megan Rapinoe and Simone Biles now on it.
Are you still angry? They won 5-0 without her. She got such a distinguished honor. Are you still angry at the White House?
Still angry at the White House.
Of course you
are. Let her do it on her time, not on theirs.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our next guest on this whirlwind edition of Football America is none other than Julian Araujo of the LA Galaxy and the Mexican national team. Julian, welcome back to Football America. As always, great to have you, my man.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is a pleasure, and I'm excited to talk about a lot of things.
I bet you're excited. I know one thing you're very excited to talk about is El Tráfico, or whatever it is that you guys do call it there in the locker room. Tell me, if somebody hasn't seen this game before, what makes it special? What makes it a unique rivalry?
I think just the intensity that both teams come out with, you know, starting with the fans, obviously, you know, us, we're going out there to win. They're coming out there, or they're going to come out to beat us. You know, we've gone out there this year and we beat them every time we've played against them. We're going to their house now, and, you know, they're not going to want to lose at their house in front of their fans. So, you know, the best feeling in the world is going over there and getting a win. So we want to go over there, do whatever we possibly can to get 3 points. It's going to be difficult, but yeah, the intensity is going to be very high. We know what this game is, and we're very excited.
Julian, you're a local boy. You follow the Galaxy for quite some time. I'm going to read you the headline on today's ESPN.com. It says, "The LA Galaxy falling behind the rest of Major League Soccer." What do you make of that headline?
I seen that actually this afternoon that it came out, but no, it's all good. You know, we're staying focused. We know what we have to do. We know that we're in fourth or fifth, I think, on the table. But we're just focused on tomorrow. We're gonna try to go out there and beat our crosstown rivals. You know, we're their neighbors, and we want to go out there and win. We're not focused on the table right now. We're going out there and we have a game tomorrow, and that's what we're focused on. You know, the rest is gonna come. We played Montreal and we did very well, so we're on a good run right now.
All right, I know the game tomorrow is at Bank of California Stadium, but I gotta ask, because we always talk about it on this show. Every time there's a Galaxy LAFC game in Carson, Herc tells me the Galaxy are going to win. I know this is gonna happen, and every time I say no, but LAFC is playing well. LAFC, here they come. They're gonna get it this time. Julian, what's going on? What's with the curse of Carson? Explain it.
We're the OGs, you know. we've been here for a very long time. You know, we have history. we definitely have history, and we have a fan base that's going to be behind us throughout the 90 minutes, and do the good and the bad, we know they got our back. So we're going to go out there and give them the game that we always do. We know they know that we always show up for this game. So yeah, we're going to go out there and give it our all.
Julian, I need you to explain something to me. I mean, you guys haven't won back-to-back games since April, but if you look at the top teams in the league, like the top six in the Supporters Shield race, you're 6-0 versus those teams. So explain to me the Galaxy this season.
Yeah, so, you know, we've lost games. We've lost some games at home when we shouldn't have lost. We don't want to lose at home, and it's been, you know, we want to make our house our territory. And, you know, teams have came to our house and beat us at home. We've done very well on the road, but we got to match that at home. You know, our fans are wanting us to win at home, and they have a high expectation for us. And, yeah, so, you know, it's been difficult for us. We've had some good times. We have some bad times. But we all know this is the second half of the season. We know that every game counts. Last year we lost it. We were winning for 89 minutes or 84 minutes, and RSL scored a goal. And we were out of the playoffs. So we know that from the first game to the last game, we're going to try to do whatever it takes to get as many points on the road and at home. And we know we show up against big teams. We know that we're going to have control of the ball most of the games, but you know, we just got to stay. Everybody's got to be locked in from the first whistle to the last whistle, and that's something that we've all had a talk about. You know, we've had some, you know, some players sometimes we go down as soon as they score a goal. And last year, I think whenever our rival team scored before us, we would lose. But you know, this year we've turned that around, and you know, we're trying to stay in high spirits, and yeah, we're going to do whatever it takes to finish off the season strong.
Look, it's no secret. This is a huge year for you in everything personal, right, with the World Cup coming up. How do you think you're playing, you know, right now, 5-6 months from the World Cup?
I think I'm doing well for myself. You know, I'm just trying to take every day as a new opportunity. I'm trying to improve every day with the players that I have around me, with the staff that I have around me. I know it's going to be difficult, you know, heading into the World Cup. Everybody's trying to do whatever they can to make that roster. For me, it's just, you know, focusing on my training days, my game days, trying to stay fit, trying to stay healthy, obviously. And everything's going to take care of itself. You know, what's for me is for me. I'm going to do my job here, and hopefully I can get a call up to the World Cup.
Well, yeah, last time we spoke was around MLS All-Star Game, Liga MX versus MLS, and you were still undecided of whether you were going to represent Mexico or the United States men's national team. You chose Mexico. I'm curious, how has your life changed since? What's life like for you now?
It's good. I'm very, very stress-free. I'm very, I'm happy. You know, I'm representing such a big country, a big crest, and, you know, I'm going to do it with everything in me. I'm going to leave everything on the field every time I get a chance to step on the field. I'm excited for what's to come. You know, I'm very young, but I know there's a lot of future in me. You know, I'm just excited to learn to be around the very, very big players that have played in the World Cup, that have a lot of experience. But I'm very happy. I'm very content, and I'm just waiting to hopefully get the next call up.
How did you feel playing in the Nations League? And at this point, does every one of those games almost feel like a make or break audition for the World Cup?
Yeah, for sure. I felt good, you know, obviously being around different players as well, being around the first team players. It's always been a dream of mine to represent Mexico, and to be able to do it at 20 years old, I'm very happy. I've gone out there, learned a lot already from the players, from the staff. But yeah, I know Mexico's a lot of pressure. It's a different culture. They bleed, they sleep soccer. So I'm happy, and I love that. And I think that's what brings the best out of me.
You know, Julian, Mexico's got a very experienced team. And I look at this Nations League roster, and you had some very young guys on there. Guys like Marcelo Flores. I'm curious of your overall impressions of what you've seen from Marcelo Flores, a player that's already gotten national team looks but not really first team looks at the club level.
Yeah, so he's very good. He has a good head on himself. He knows he has a lot of potential. You know, the games are going to come. He does well in training. He's very professional. But yeah, we know he's young, but he has a lot of talent. He's definitely going to have a long career for himself and a very good one.
Julian, I'm looking at this team from Mexico. I'm looking at the roster. There's not a lockdown at right back. You were talking about trying to make the team. Are you thinking about making the team, or are you thinking about making the starting 11? Like, what's the conversation in your head right now?
No, for sure. The conversation in my head is obviously I want to go. I want to play in the World Cup. I don't just want to get a call up and be on the roster. I definitely want to go out there and win a starting 11 spot. But yeah, my goal right now is to, you know, focus here, play every game, play well, do well in training, improve every day and whatever I need to improve on, stay healthy, stay fit, and making sure that I'm taking care of my body, because at the end of the day, my body's what's going to get me there. I just want to take care of my body. I want to perform well day in, day out. And, you know, I have a lot of games before the World Cup, and I need to play to my highest capacity. And from there, everything is going to take care of itself.
You know, Julian, I'm very curious. You're a player that's experienced Major League Soccer your whole career, and now I've got thrown into the World Cup mix, or I'm sorry, the Mexican national team mix, and it's a very much in the eye of the hurricane. The press is all over you guys. It's a lot of attention. What's that been like for you?
It's been a little bit crazy, you know. That's kind of what I've dreamed of, you know. Like, it's just pressure is, like I said, it's brought out the best of me. It's, you know, I think it brings out the best in everybody. And it's difficult, but sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes when it's going your way, it's very good. When it's not, it's a difficult thing to handle. Being young, I've been able to kind of handle. You know, I try to stay off social media, try to stay off all that, just to keep my head on straight. But it's been a good time for sure. But you know, sometimes it can get difficult.
All right, there is Julian Araujo of the LA Galaxy and the Mexican national team. Julian, thanks so much for the time. As always, great to have you here on Football Americas.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
It is MLS Rivalry Week across the league. We'll have an Eastern Conference showdown to start the night on Friday. DC United against Philadelphia Union. And then the Western Conference, it's the LA Galaxy and LAFC. El Tráfico, si Julián Araujo live. Don't miss it on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Right now is for Book It, Herc. We got a few minutes left in the show. Let's make an educated pick based on what we think is going to happen tomorrow night. LA Galaxy, LAFC, Bank of California. You're going to be calling it, right, on ESPN Deportes?
ESPN Deportes with Alex Pareja and Richard Mendez. We will be there. Actually, be on the field. I'm going to wear my nice kicks, and I'm going to say hi to all the players. I'm going to rival Berhalter's kick game tomorrow.
No, that's a big promise.
I'm not kidding. Pay attention to the kicks. If you see me, you know. Give a shout out to the show, hashtag Football Americas. You know, all right, here's where I'm going. If you want to parlay it, because I think I'm onto something right now, okay? Mm-hmm. This is going to be a game where both teams score, okay? LAFC, 35 straight games with a goal at home. Carlos Vela, 10 goals versus the LA Galaxy. So they might even be a Carlos Vela goal. Mm. Okay? And check this out. The LA Galaxy have only lost 3 times to LAFC. 0 in the last 5, and they're one of the best road teams in Major League Soccer this season. I think we're looking at a draw with goals.
You put all of that data into the computer, and what you came out with was a draw.
With goals. I mean, that's... Seb, that's a parlay, and that's going to make you some money. That's the point of Book It.
Big money. He predicts a draw and both teams to score. All right, just because I can't pick LAFC enough, at some point they're going to have to beat the LA Galaxy. This game is not in Carson, correct, Herc? It is not in Carson. You're going to be calling it. It's Bank of California Stadium?
Yeah, LAFC okay. In any game have only, out of 15 times, only won 3 times, so...
I'm going to take LAFC, and then based only on what Giorgio Chiellini told us when he looked up the amount of goals in this rivalry, I'm going to say take the over. Take the over 2.5. If you want to get real aggressive, take the over 3.5 and make that your parlay.
Trivia. There's only one other game, it's not a rivalry, one other matchup where they've played like more than 10 times that has more goals in its history than LAFC versus LA Galaxy. Can you name the two teams? Can you name that game?
Seattle-Portland?
It's not of the modern era.
Ooh, Tampa Bay, LA Galaxy.
All right, Seb!
And that's how we do it. Mic dropped. That'll do it for this edition of Football Americas. He's Herc, I'm Seb. I hope you enjoyed it. We worked real hard on this one. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You sneaky little...